Okay, we're up to Divrei Hayom Base Perek Base Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit, we learned about this person, the Ben Isha, the skilled craftsman that was sent by Hiram to Shlomo, whose name was also Huram. He was a son of an Isha Almona from Shevet Dan, from Shevet Yehuda, and he sent this person to David to assist in the Malacha, the gold, the silver, the Tcheles Argamon, so on and so forth, all the various things. Now with the Pasuk Yudalit V'ata, and now Hiram demands you keep your part of the deal. I will send you this person to assist, and you have to send me the food, the supplies. V'ata now hachitim v'hasarim v'hashemen v'hayayin, these four items: wheat, barley, oil, and wine. Asher Omer Adoni, which you promised that you would send my workers to assist. Yishlach lavadav, you should be true to your word. May you send to your servants to support them when they do the work on your behalf, cutting down the wood, as it says down pasuk Yitzvav. Yanach nos nichros etzim halvonon, send us supplies, food, and we will cut down etzim min halvonon kichol tzarkech, according to your needs, univiyim lucha, and I will bring it to you. Raf Sodos Al Yom Yofo. What's Raf Sodos?
Rafs.
And in Pasuk, in Melachim, there's a different word. We'll see Rash, there's a different word, which basically means the same thing. Rafs, we're going to send the word on Rafs. Al Yom Yofo, so I guess along the Mediterranean. Along the Mediterranean, the Levanon was up north, and it was near the Mediterranean, so they would ship them to the Mediterranean, send them all the way down, and then come in to Yom Yofo, which was the closest place to bring them near Yerushalayim. From there, they would have to be transported by wagon, I guess, to Yerushalayim.
Is that Yafo?
Yeah. So that's where it was. V'ato, and now Talo is some Yerushalayim, and you. V'ato, and you, Talo is some Yerushalayim, and you, David, you have the responsibility to bring them from Yafo to Yerushalayim. So we're going to bring them from the Levanon down the Mediterranean to Yom Yafo, but it's your responsibility to take over from there and bring it to Yerushalayim. Okay, let's see over here the Mitzudos and Rashi very quickly. Pasuk Gedal and the Mitzudos. Pasuk, there is no Pasuk Yud Dalit. Okay, the only thing is, if you look in Pasuk, the Mitzudos Tzion, he translates this unusual word, Raf Sodos, Heim Doivros, those are the Dovros. Okay, it's another word, the same exact thing that's mentioned in Sefer Melachim, Veheim HaKoros HaKashuos Yachad LaHashitim B'mayim El Mekom HaNirtze. Barges, okay, rafts, these very large sized rafts upon which they would put wood, whatever they needed, Loshon Raf Sodos, Huska B'Talmud Yushalmi. This is a word that is found in the Talmud Yushalmi, so I guess this word was more popular in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. It was an upgrade from the ancient biblical Hebrew from the time of Melachim. Here we're going fast forward 500 years, and now it's being written with changing words. A very interesting idea how words evolve and they change to what's more popular. Let's see what Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Dalid. Pasuk Yud, let's say Pasuk Tezvav, Raf Sodos, Doivros, these are the rafts mentioned in Melachim. Al Yam Yafo, Perish, El Choif Hayam, to the seashore. Okay, Kumo Vayerd Yafo, Diona. Okay, this refers to the sea that was along the city where the wood was brought. Okay, now you go to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Tezayin is a repetition of what it says in the very beginning of the parak, which is very difficult. Why do we have to read this repetition? Before we read Pasuk Tezayin, let's just go back to Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph says, Vayispar Shlomo Shivim Elef Ish Sabol Ushmoinev Elef Ish Chotzei Bahar. David counted 70,000 laborers, people to carry heavy loads, and 80,000 quarriers. Umenatzchim aleihem shloisha salafim from 3,600. So we have a grand total of 153,360. And 600. So we have here 153,600 people are going to be working for David. Who are these people? These, Chazal tell us, were gerim, girurim. These were gerim, which were not even accepted, lowly converts. They were so lowly that they were not accepted the Klal Yisrael. They attempted on their own to convert. But Chazal tell us that they were not mekabel ger at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, because there is no way we can prove that they are sincere. They want to convert because they want to join the Klal Yisrael. The reason why they want to convert is because they want to enjoy the benefits. They want to enjoy the benefits of Obamacare. That's why. Not because they really want different, because we have no way of ensuring. That's why they're not allowed to join. So these were the people, and David appointed them to be people to carry heavy loads and to quarry stone from the mountain. And here the pasuk repeats itself. I will see in a few moments the reason why the pasuk repeats itself is because since we were mafsik, since we had a digression, we went off the topic to discuss the entire story of Shlomo and Churam. Shlomo makes this agreement with Churam that Churam would supply materials and supply skilled people to help out in the Beis HaMikdash. So now we return to the original topic. This is typical in Sefer Divrei Hayam, this style of writing. We begin a topic, we digress, and then we return, and when we return, we repeat what we started with. So here we go. Pasuk Tzayin Vayispar Shlomo Kol Hoanoshim HaGeirim. Here it tells us more details. It says that these people were Geirim. They were converts. Asher Bi'eretz Yisrael. They were not accepted. They attempted to convert. We'll see in the Mepharshim. They were either from the leftovers from Eretz Canaan, or they were from other nations who wanted to convert. Acharei HaAsafar. This counting that David did was in addition to the counting that his father David did. Shlomo now was making a second counting since the time of his father. Acharei HaSefar, the counting, Asher Sefaram David Aviv, Vayimotsu, and it was discovered, Me'ah V'chamishim Elef, 150,000, Ushloshes Alafim, 3,000 V'sheish Me'os, 3,600. Vayasm, what did Shlomo do with these people? Vayasm mehem shivim elef sabol. He made from them 70,000 people who would laborers, people that would carry heavy loads on their shoulders. Ushmoinim elef 80,000 chaytze b'char, choirs of the mountain. Ushloishes alafim, and 3,000 sheshmiyosh minatzchim. They were to be the supervisors, the overseers, lehaavid esa'am, to make sure that people do what they're supposed to do. Chazamek, they tell us, there's a medrash here that says that you need 3,600 to oversee. If you have less than this number of supervisors, I guess it's an entire system of who's in charge of who, then you really can't keep track of people. This is an ideal ratio. Okay, I will do the math quickly. I forgot to do the math. What's the math of... what's the ratio from 150,000 to 3,600? Anyone have a quick mind here? 3%? So one person, one for three? Three for 100. So one for 33. So approximately one person is in charge of 33 people. Okay, that's an interesting number.
Right. Normal ratio of supervisors is like 1 to 7, 1 to 10.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what it says. Okay, Rabbi Chol is...
Government, that's federal.
Yeah, you definitely work for the federal.
There must have been supervisors.
Different layers. Okay, there are different layers. There are different layers of supervisors. We don't exactly know how it worked.
Okay, Rabbi Chol. Indian construction. You have an Indian supervisor, and the boss could be the architect.
Okay, there are different layers of supervisors. All I know is this Medrash Rus. He's a Bucky in Medrash Rus. So here there's a Medrash in Rus Rabbah, Parshdal. I'll read you what it says. It says, why was there exactly 3,600 supervisors for 150,000 workers? The Abed Kane, if you set up a system like this, then, I'm reading the words here, Yochel Likayim, then everything will run smoothly. Pachos mikain, less than this, meaning if there are more workers than this ratio, this number of supervisors, then pachos mikain, you're not going to be able to know what's going on. Let me read the words over here. If it's yochel kayim v'yeda mahu aved, you'll know what's going on. Yosser al kain lo yochel kayim. V'lo yeda mahu oved. You're not going to know what's going on. Too many workers for if you don't have enough supervisors.
Manageable.
It's exactly. So this is a very interesting pasuk. This is telling us, say, mitzias of the ratio here is 3/100, approximately one person over 33 people. Very interesting. Okay, so here now, I just saw an interesting medrash. We have over here the number 70 and 80. 70 and 80 obviously is an interesting number. Why did he break up the number 70 and 80? Okay, I'm not exactly sure. 7 and 8 is obviously a very significant number when it comes to Yom Tif. We have the 7 is the Shlemus. There are 7 days in the week. There are 7 days of Sukkot, 7 days of Pesach, and then 8 represents Lamala, Miderech HaTeva, Shmini Atzeres. So we do see that there is some significance in 7, the two go together. I don't know why it was broken up in this way. But I did see that there is one of the Mefarshim explained why did Shlomo select 150,000, because that is a Choymesh of 600,000. Not a Choymesh Mille Gav, but Milabar, meaning a fourth. The way we calculate a fifth in Halacha most of the time is you take a fourth. And when you take a fourth of a number and you add it to the with your starting point, then you get a fifth. So what is a fourth of 600,000? 150,000. So that's what, since Klal Yisrael, now even though at this point in time Klal Yisrael was a lot more than 600,000, Klal Yisrael's numbers expanded very much. But since the core of Klal Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim was 600,000, the Chomesh was 150,000, and that's why this was a necessary number of workers to represent the people. Just like when it comes to tzedakah, we learned yesterday that when you give tzedakah, you should give a tenth. And if you want to be mice, if you want to do more than it's necessary, we learned yesterday, so you can give up to a fifth. So just like there is tzedakah from mammon, there is tzedakah from time, from your effort, from your labor. So Klal Yisrael as a whole has an obligation to give over one fifth of its labor force, which was in this case, going back to the original number of 600,000, it would be 150,000. Then the Medrash goes on further. Now this, I don't know, the numbers don't work out. I tried to do the numbers, is what it was an additional 3,600. Where does that come from? So this is what it says there. The idea is a fascinating idea. The numbers don't work, but it's still an interesting idea. Klal Yisrael we know is 600,000. The Medrash says it was really meant to be, Klal Yisrael should have been 613,000. Just like there are Taryag Mitzos. Taryag Mitzos, fasting idea, Taryag Mitzos, 613. There should have been 613,000 neshamos for Klal Yisrael. It didn't work out. Why not? I don't know. Only 13,000 are missing. However, the Menatzchim, when it came to this point in time, Shlomo HaMelech, when he's coming to appoint laborers, what is the number that he has? He has 153,600. There is an additional 3,600. Now, that the numbers don't work. And so the Medrash says that the 3,600 is the Chomesh, is the Chomesh of 13,000. But that's not true. A Chomesh of a fourth of 13,000 is 3,250. Right? A fourth of 13,000 divided by 4 is 3,250. What?
15 is 750, no?
13,000. 13,000 divided by 4 is 3,250. This medrash, this obscure medrash, says that the chomesh is 3,600, which it makes up, but the numbers don't work out. So there's something that I'm missing. There must be some more information, but it's an approximation. At least it's an approximation. But the only thing which really is interesting is this idea that it was really meant to be, there should have been 613,000 neshamas of Klal Yisrael. So for whatever reason, 13,000 were missing. That just sheds new light on this, on some of these ideas. Okay, but this is what, these are the Gerim, Gerurim. These were Gerim, which were not accepted. They were like the Givonim, which David HaMelech appointed, and Yoshua appointed, Chaitz Ve'etzim. They were Shoyvei Maim Chaitz Ve'etzim. Same thing, just like they were water carriers and wood choppers. So at the time here of Shlomo HaMelech, he took these people and he made them into people to carry heavy loads, and people that would quarry stone from the mountain. This pasuk is the end of the perek, which exactly parallels the beginning of the perek, that same exact number. Let's see the mitzudos. The mitzudos pasuk test zayin hagerim. The gerim is heim hagivoinim. The mitzudos says these gerim are the same as the givoinim that were the time of Yehoshua. They are the same people. Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Mitzudos David, Vayas Mehem Im Ki Kvar Nema Lamala. Even though it says exactly this information, meaning the Perek Chazav Yema Lesamchay Lesamchay Lespar Habinyan. We want to repeat the number because we're going to now count all the different numbers about the Beis Hamikdash in the next Perek, the dimensions. So we want to connect it to the next Perek. Menatzchem Menatzchem means Reidim Menoksem. People that were supervisors to make sure people don't slack off on the job. Rashi, Pasik, Tes, Zayin. Vayispa Shlomo Kol Honash Magerim Mole Beis Bebeis Yudin. Rashi here is asking, why does it say Gerim with two Yuds? Is it written Mole? It's not really such a kasha, because almost everything in Divrei Hayam, if you notice by now, is Mole. David is Mole. Many words on Mole. When it came to David, so he said, because David, that the purpose of Sefer Devarim is to give cover to David, so we want to refer to David in his shlemus, in his wholesomeness. So we add more letters to give cover to David. But generally, it's a style of writing. It's a different style of writing where everything is Mole. Rashi here seems to say it's not just a style of writing. There is some greater hidden message in the fact that the letters are there. So let's see. Umitchila kishasapram David. So the answer is because when David counted them, they were smaller in number. That's why the pasuk says, besides them, which David counted, Because the truth is that from the time of David to now, their number increased by at least 3,600. So that's why it says it here with a yud, to indicate that here it's mole, and whereas in the past it was chaser, the population grew over the lifetime of David until the period of time of Shlomo HaMelech. Or mitchilo kishasapram David nikru sham gerim b'yud achas, with one yud. Aval Shlomo safram b'shas ma'isa kishabona olechein ksiv mole, and that's why it's mole, because now their number increased. V'dugma v'halisem es asmosai mizeh chaser. Well, I shouldn't say it's because the number increased. I'm sorry, that's not what the Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that b'shas mais, when you describe something theoretically, when it's still in its potential, it's in its incipient state, then you read it chaser. But when it's being actually executed, implemented, then you express it in its form, that's mole. And he gives an example. When Yosef gave the command, I want you to take my bones out of Mitzrayim, swear to me that when you leave Egypt, that my bones will come with you, there, v'halisem es atzmosai mizeh period. It does not say the word itzechem. It's a different type of mole v'chaser. In this pasuk, we're dashing extra yuds. Here, Rashi is making a drasha on the entire word. All he said was, "V'halisem es atzmosai mizeh." You should take my bones together with, to take my bones out of here. But later, b'shas ma'isa, when they took Yosef's bones, it says they reviewed the promise. They reviewed the promise they made to Yosef. And there, when it's written later on, it's written itchem. There's an entire extra word. Mizeh chaser, the word itchem does not appear. But b'shas ma'isa, and parshas b'shalach, when they review the promise they made to Yosef, that he told them that they promised, they told them that you'll take my bones out. There it says itchem, in another additional word, mole, ksiv itchem. So the yesod is when something is in its preliminary state, then it's written chaser. When it's l'maisa, it's implemented, then it's written mole. Here as well, David counted these people as preparation to build the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore the gerim were written chaser, because there's no function for you yet. Just be on standby. 50 years later, when Shlomo came to build the Beis HaMikdash, and now they've been called to active duty, now we're referring to them as mole, because it's l'maisa. Okay, let's go. L'malik siv acharei ha-safar. Lamala Bil Sivit says in Perikhov Bez, Vyama David, Lichna says a Gerim, okay, that was back in Perikhov, Diriyam Allah, Perikhov Bez, where David instructed to count the Gerim, and their numbers were 150,000. Here the numbers increased to 153,600. Vayas Mehem Pasig Yidzain in Rashi, Vayas Mehem Shiv Melef, Masha Choser, Maskinu Maskar, and Misper Beshvil Shiv. So we're just going to be saying the same thing in longhand from what the Mitzvah says. The reason why we're putting the exact same Pasig, and the last Pasig of the Perik is identical almost to the first pasuk in the parak, because we got sidetracked, we got distracted. Uma shechazer mazkiron umasker hamispar b'shvil shehivsik ho'inyin, because we got distracted. L'kach lev huchach lemer af ata. We have to say repeat again. V'lo yivsoik ad sheyichle habinyin, and we're not going to yivsoik ad sheyichle kol habinyin. And now we're not going to stop until we conclude describing all of the dimensions of the structure. The Omer Miyad, as the Pasuk says now, Vayochel Shlomo, there's not going to be any Hefsek. We need these people to do the work that appears in the next Perek. So we are Semech, we juxtapose one next to the other without any break. Vayochel Shlomo. V'afilu b'pasuk echad, min hagoy sheyafsek the afilu pasuk echad min hago sheyavsku inyin umaskel daber rishon kmo zos asuk chulachem machtos korach ulumacharosek sivayim moshel korach atav chladoscha v'choy zaviyam erkuchu ish machtosay. He just gives you an example by korach, the same idea where the pasuk mentions to take your pants. It makes mention of the pants twice. Why does it make mention of the pants twice? Because in between the first mention and the second mention, there was a break. There was a discussion of who the people were, their families, and therefore, in order to remind us of what happened, so we have to go back and mention the pans again. El lefisha hivsek abekam besukim hutzach shenis lichtav to kavakol shekein kan. Suddenly over here, we were mafsek with all of these different details about churam and about all the different types of skills and materials that are needed. So we go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Okay, pas paragimel. Paragimel begun. Just make sure I didn't forget anything. Okay, yeah. Pasuk Paragimel. Vayochel Shlomo Livnos Espes Hashem Yerushalayim Behar Hamaria Asher Nire LeDavid Avihu. Shlomo begins to build the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim Behar Hamaria. Har Maria is the place where the Akedah took place. Asher Nira LeDavid is also the place where Hashem appeared to David after the Magefa through God HaChoyzeh. Asher Heichin, the word Asher Heichin refers to Shlomo. Shlomo now began to prepare the location. What was the place that he prepared to build? Bimkoim, David, in the place that David set aside, the Goren, what once used to be the Goren, the threshing field, Ornon HaYevusi. So there are many, many different descriptions here in this very important pasuk describing the significance of this location. Number one, it's called Har Hamoria. Har Hamoria is the expression used specifically for the Akedah. Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. And this mountain Hashem will appear. And that's the Akedah. Then it says another expression, Asher Nire LeDavid Avihu, the place where the Malach God appeared to David when the Magefa came to an end. And it's also called the place Asher Heichin that Shlomo was preparing. Asher Heichin Shlomo was now preparing. Bimkoim David, another description. It's a place, the place of David. David gets his own credit. And it's also called the Goren Ornon HaYevusi. So there are four different expressions, four different ways of describing the location of the Beis HaMikdash. Har Moria, the place where Hashem appeared. It's the place of David, Bimkoim David, and it's the Goren Ornon HaYevusi. Okay, there must be significance in these four descriptions. Maybe we'll come to it a little bit later. But just keep that in mind for now. There are four different elements of the Mekoim, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in Haggadah, we begin the Da'al Banim with Baruch HaMokoim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnos Antel HaMishal B'Kdush HaSo, Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Chacham Rasha Tam She'en Yodei Lishal. So we begin with how do we begin the Da'al Banim? With the word Mokoim, Baruch HaMokoim. Why Mokoim? That's one of Hashem's names. Hashem is Mekoimah Shel Olam. Here we are referring to the ultimate Mokoim, the Mokoim of the where the Shechina will rest, and it's described here with four different expressions. Har Hamoria, Asher Nireh LeDavid, which means the Shri Avihu, Bimkoim David, and Goyren Ornon Hayavusi. Okay, four different expressions. So, what? Asher Heichin. So you want to say a fifth place, Asher Heichin. Asher Heichin goes on Shlomo. Shlomo is preparing, is now making preparations to proceed to build it. You have to add a word in it. A lot of times you have to add words into the pasuk to build this structure in the place Bimkoim David, the place that David selected. So let's not focus on Asher Heichin. Asher Heichin doesn't appear, at least simply, to be a primary description of this location. It's the place where Shlomo is being to prepare, which place? The place of David, and it's also the Goyren Ornon Haivusi. Four different descriptions. Now, I vaguely remember hearing once upon a time, a beautiful drasha connecting the Dalet Banim to these four different descriptions. Now, you're not going to call anyone here a Rasha. Obviously, you're not going to call a you're not going to call anyone, but there are different elements in different approaches to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kineged Dalet Banim Dibur Torah. There are four different ways to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all Banim Lamakom, and we come to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are four different ways to come close. Now, by the way, not everyone calls the four different ways to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's expressed in the four different psukim in the Torah, which Chazal defined as the Chacham, the Rosh, the Tam, and the Sheni, the Elishol. And here as well, we find a zecher for that, because we're calling it the Makom, and we're giving it four different descriptions. Okay, well, maybe we'll come back another time to that. Pasuk Beis, Vayochel Livnos. Again, we repeat the word again. He begins to build, even though it's said over there in Pasuk Al Vayochel Shlomo Livnos. Again, it repeats Vayochel. Why? I guess because we've been distracted. Since we've been distracted by giving it a description four different terms, we now once again repeat this idea. Livnos Bachodesh Hasheni, in the second month, which is Chodesh Iyar. Right, the second month of the year is Chodesh Nisan Iyar. Basheni means the second day. In the second day of the month. Now, there are two real interpretations. Either it means on a Monday, they started building it on a Monday, or it means on the second day of the month. Both of them, there are two different opinions in the Gemara, which one it refers to. Rav David Cohen in his Sefer El David, he says, why would there be a reason to build a base Hamikdash on a Monday? So he brings a Chazal that any Davrsha B'Kedusha that you begin should begin on a Monday or a Thursday, because those are days of Rachamim. So when you want days of Racham, Bez and Sitz on Monday and Thursday, that's why we say Tachnun on Monday, a long Tachnun Monday and Thursday. There are special days of Rachamim. Therefore, David Shlomo selected a Monday to begin the construction of the Mikdash, that there should be Siyata D'Shmaya and special Bracha. He will come to another drush in a few moments. He began to build this on a Monday, or on the second day of the month, of Chodesh Iyar, Bishnas Arba Lemalchusa, in the fourth year of his reign. Let's see the pasuk. This pasuk in the Mitzvah's pasuk Aleph. There's a lot going on here. Asher Nira. Okay. Asher Sham Nira Hamokam Baruchu LeDavid Aviv. Pasuk Aleph. It says the place where Hashem appeared. This Mokam was selected not just because it was the location of the Akedah Har Hamoria. It's also because this was the place where God HaChoizeh, where Hashem appeared to David in the form of a Malach, through a Malach that the Magefa will come to an end. LeDavid Aviv Vayomer Al Yiridas Ha'esh. And it says, Al Yiridas Ha'esh Hashalom Espeach Kima Shekosa Vayenehu Bo Esh Min Hashamayim. Hashem answered him. Vayomer Al Yiridas. I'm not sure what he's referring to. This is referring back to Divrayam. That was the Maisa there with the Magefa, where he offered a carbon. David offered a carbon to Hashem on this location. They took from the animals of Arn Hayavusi, and they offered a carbon, and Esh Min Hashmaim came down, and that's how we knew this was the location where Hashem selected for the Beis HaMikdash. Asher Heichin, Al Shlomo Ye Omer. this expression here, Ashehechen, is a repetition of what the theme of the parak is. Shlomo is now beginning to build. Shulchoheichen lived us b'mokom shakava David begonim. Is now beginning to build the place where David selected. Basheni. So what does it mean on the second? B'yom sheni b'shabbos. It began on a Monday. Monday is a good day to start a holy task. Oh, b'chodesh, or it could mean the second day of the month. But Rabbi Yosef Zichron Levracha, Darshu Bo B'Roshana, we'll see the Rashi in a moment, they interpret this to mean the very important halacha, that Jewish kings count their years from Chodesh Nisan, whereas non-Jewish kings, their years are counted from Chodesh Tishrei. In other words, if a Jewish king takes the throne in Adar, and he's only king for a couple of days, let's say it's the 29th day of Adar, and now it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and now it's Aleph Nisan. How many years is he king?
2 years.
He's now in his second year of his kingdom. He says, oh, but he only was a king for one day in Chodesh Adar. It doesn't matter. If you're a king for one day in a year, you are, it's called an entire year, at least in the calculation of giving kavod and writing documents and having coins and the historical record of how many years you were king for. What about a non-Jewish king? When do they count their years? From Tishrei. If they're a king for one day in Elul, and then they're a king, then now it's Aleph Tishrei, so they're already king as far as we're concerned, as far as the way we relate to them. They can do whatever they want. We don't care what they do. But the way we relate to them, as far as counting their years, it goes from Tishrei. How do Chazal know this? How do Chazal know that there's a difference when it comes to Jewish kings? We count from Nisan. We learn it from this pasuk. This is the source. Because here the word Hasheni is superfluous. If the pasuk would have said, Vayochel livnos b'chodesh Hasheni, and b'chodesh Hasheni, b'shnas arba l'malchuso. Why did it have to say in the second month? When is the second month? The second month is is Chodesh Iyar. Why is it saying here the second word Basheni in the second? So simply, if you shoot the Shulmika, we make a drasha, and we means the second day of the week on a Monday, or we mean the second day of the month. But Chazal make a drasha Basheni that it's going to be considered the second year of the Malach Drasha. It's not a little pshat. That when you come to the second month of the year, if you have started your Malchus in the previous year, you'll already now consider to be in the second year of your Malchus. This is a Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Extra word for a Drasha. So it's very important halacha. Okay, so now that's what the Mitzvah says. Let's go look at the Rashi. Rashi elaborates a little bit more. Rashi Pasik Aleph Bahar Hamariah. It's called Har Hamaria. Lefi Asher Sham Nirak Kadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid B'Gorud Arnon HaOtzar Magefu Har Hamaria B'Mekoyim David. So Rashi here is saying not what I told you before. The Hamaria refers to the place of the Akedah. The Akedah was also called Har Hamaria. Here he's saying Maria means to appear, appearance. Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to David Gorin Arnon when the Magefa came to an end. So it's also called Har Hamaria for that reason as well. The place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah made an appearance when the Magefa came to an end, when David offered a korban at that and this location, the Magefa came to an end, Hashem told the Malach to return his sword into its sheath, and that's why it's also called Har HaMoriel according to the simple interpretation of the Pasuk. Pasuk Beis in Rashi, Vayochel livnos b'chodesh Hasheni, Mefurish b'tchilas Rosh Hashanah, Yushalmi, this is Yushalmi Masechta Rosh Hashanah. What does this mean, Upisron? The interpretation is, b'chodesh Hasheni, Basheni Bachodesh Iyar, on the second day of the month. Okay, this is one of two interpretations. Not on a Monday, but on the second day of the month. Lithi Shirotsu Lemar Bishnas Arba Lemalchuso. Since we want to say in a few moments that it was in the fourth year of his Malchus, Chutzrach Lichbo Veloimar Basheni, we have to repeat the word Sheni to make it clear that it was the second day of the month. Because if we're not going to say the word Basheni, then we're not going to know what day of the month it was. Because we Vayochel livnos b'chodesh Hasheni, on the second month Basheni, on the second day of the month, Bishnas Arbalim Al Chuso, we have to stick in the word Basheni here, because since we want to come and tell us it was the fourth year of his Malchus, now is the only opportunity in the Pasuk, in the structure of the Pasuk, to indicate that it took place on the second day of the month. The Dugma, we have a similar form, a similar structure of a sentence in the Mabel. The Hamayim Hayu Holech V'Chasar, the waters diminished, Ad HaChodesh Ho'asiri, and the Pasuk concludes, what was the whole soul pasuk? We have a balkari here. You remember the pasuk? The balpe. So what's how does the pasuk go? So immediately it tells you the day in the month. It says bo asiri in the 10th month. And then it says the day of the 10th month. So just like we have in Noach, when you after you mention the month, you immediately mention the day of the month. Likewise here, you first say the Chodesh Hasheni, and then you make mention of which particular day in the month. And then he gives another example. The Dugma Balachim, Beshana Hardias, Bechodesh Ziv, Hu Chodesh Hasheni, Limloch Shlomo, Musav, it says there in the 4th year, Chodesh Ziv, Hu Chodesh Hasheni, this is the second month. Iyar is called Chodesh Ziv, Limloch Shlomo, Musav al Hashana Harvias, the Oz Bishnas Arbalam al Chuso Hischil Bishani. Okay, I'm not sure what this means. I'm going to leave this out because I couldn't figure out when I prepare what this means, the significance of this. Okay, let's leave that out for now. Maybe we'll come back, maybe tomorrow, if I can figure out what it means. But then at the very end of Rashi, he does make one point, and he says, the reason why Shlomo waited until Iyar, why didn't Shlomo begin to build the Beis HaMikdash earlier, in the beginning of the year, after Tishrei? Because it's winter, and the winter is not an ideal time for construction. Because of the cold. Why did he wait until Nisan? Because they were busy with Korban Pesach. So the first opportunity was Chodesh Iyar, the second day of the month, Mibnei HaPesach. Okay, so now we come to the structure of the Mikdash, Pasuk Gimel, the Eila. The following is, you have to add a word. Why did he wait these couple of years? 4 years. I guess he had to establish the Mukhan, make contact with Hiram, get the supplies. It could be it took time first to establish himself as Melech. I don't know the answer. What?
16.
He was 16, yes. He was 16 years old because he was 12 years old and became Melech, and it's 4 years later, so he was about 16. Okay, the Eile, now we come to the dimensions. The Eile, Husad, here are, you have to add a word into the pasuk. Here are the Midos. The Eile, Midos, the following are the measurements of the foundation of Midos, Asher, two words, Midos, Asher, Husad, Shlomo. The measurements which Shlomo used to lay the foundation, Livnos, the space, Hoelokim. Here we go. Ha'orech, the length of the structure was Amos. Now, what kind of Amos? We know in the Gemara there are three different types of Amos. There's an Amos that has six Tvachim, an Amos that has five Tvachim, an Amos that has six plus, a little bit more than six. The Amos, so generally the Amos that were five Tvachim were used for Kalim, were used to make utensils. And the Amos that was some six was used for the structure, for the binyan. And the Amos that was a little bit more than six, that was an Amos that was used by contractors. When you signed a contract with the Beis HaMikdash to supply materials, you had to give more than what was required of you. You were paid, let's say, for an Amos of six Tvachim, but you had to bring an Amos that was six plus. The plus was a teeny fraction, just like the amount of a half a finger or something like that. A teeny fraction, but still in all, in order that the contractor should not be mel behegdish, they're receiving holy money, and they should not in any way cheat the Beis HaMikdash. They were required to provide a mashuhu more than the letter of the law, so it should not come out that they would be taking more money than service or material that they would provide. So there was a special measuring instrument that was the amount that they would use to supply the goods, even though they only paid for the exact measure of six. So there were three basic measurements. Here it says that the measurements they used, but it's interesting that they're not necessarily do they have these measurements for all purposes. It could be that there were other measurements over time that were used for different purposes. So the Pasuk makes it very clear that when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, the measurements he used were identical to the measurements that were used by Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what it says here. The length was Amos B'mida HaRishayna, like the original measurements of Moshe Rabbeinu, of 6 tefachim per Amma. Tefach is 4 fingers. Amos Shishim, the length. Now it does not say here the word length. It's very strange why the word is missing. Was Amos Shishim, was 60 Amos long. V'roichav Amos Eshim, the width was 20. Now that included
measurement, that's the width.
Amos HaRishonos refers to 6 tefachim. There's only one measure. It was referring to, like, from time immemorial back to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to use the same exact measurement units as Moshe Rabbeinu, which is 6 tefachim per Amma. That's all it means in Rishon. There's a real Achronos, that there would be an Achron. It would mean, it could be that over time they'd have feet. Right, yards and feet and all these other types of new measurements. We're not referring to the acharonis, the new invention of man. They came up with different types of measuring units. We're referring to the original measuring units of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'roichav Amos Shisho, it says it was 60 long and 20 wide, does not make any mention of the length. Now this just includes the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're not referring yet to the Ulam. The Ulam was the structure that was the antechamber in front of the Kodesh. That will come later. Now, you know, how, let's just clarify one point. How large was the Kodesh? Was 40 by 20. How large was the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It was 20 by 20. So what about the thickness of the wall? There was a wall in the Bayis Rishon. There was a wall, not like in the Bayis Sheni, where there was a curtain. There was a wall separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The thickness of this wall was one Amma. So really, if you were constructing this structure, you would assume that it was 41, not 40. Because in the Mishkan, What was the Mishkan? The Mishkan was 20 by 10. It was 30 by 10. 20 for the Heichal and 10 for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? A curtain. The curtain did not take up any space. The curtain was razor thin. Was very, very thin. So the curtain, we did not need to give any extra space in order for the curtain that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where exactly did the curtain stand in the Mishkan? Was it on the side of the Kodesh, the side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It's not clear. It was probably both. It's probably spanned both. It was right smack in the center. Maybe it was a little bit pushed over to the side of the Kodesh. But the curtain did not take up any space at all. So in the base of the Mishkan, the dimension of the Mishkan was 30. Is that correct? Is that correct? 30 by 10? The Kodesh HaKadoshim was 10 by 10, and the Heichal was 20 by 10, so it was 30 by 10. The curtain did not take up any space. But we're coming to the Beis HaMikdash, we're expanding, it's going to be 60, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is going to be 20 by 20, and the Heichal is going to be 40 by 20. So when you add up 40 plus 20, we have 60. So that's going to be the length. But wait a minute, here we're not dealing with the Mishkan. We're not going to have a curtain separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're going to have a wall, and the thickness of the wall is one Amma. So you would assume that the Amma of the, we would give an additional Amma for the space. The answer is no. It's very clear in the Pesukim that when it comes to the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, they did not give an extra Amma for the wall. Why is that so interesting? Because when you study Sefer Yecheskel, they did give an Amma. There, it's very clear in the Pesukim, the calculation, that it was that the Bayis Shlishi is going to be 61. Why 61? You have to give an Amma to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's a very interesting, what's the significance? I don't know. The Bible, the Chazal tell us they did not know if that Amma, what status that Amma had. Did that Amma have the status of Kodesh or Kodesh HaKadoshim? And therefore, in the Bayis Sheni, when there was no wall separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a curtain. So the curtain, again, it can be razor thin. So we can put the curtain, either after 20 Amos, or we can put the curtain after 21 Amos. So because there was not certain what status that original Amma had, it had the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim, or that would have the status of Kodesh, there were two curtains. There was a curtain along the end of of 20, and there was another curtain after 21 to cut off that wall. That wall. So basically, what it comes out, what it appears to come out, is that the length of the heichal was not really 40; it was 39. That's what would appear. It appears that it would be 39. So let's review. We have here the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash. We're dealing with the combination of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. In the Bayis Rishon, there were two separate rooms. I want to get to this a little bit later on. There's a fascinating gra that is incredible chiddush, the difference in the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. We'll keep that in mind for soon. But in the Bayis Rishon, there are two separate rooms. There's the Kodesh HaKodashim and the Kodesh. The Pasuk here makes it very clear. The combined length from end to end was 60. 20 for the length of the Kodesh HaKodashim, 40 for the length of the Kodesh. What was in between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim? There was a wall, a thick, solid wall with a door in the middle. How thick was the wall? Walls in ancient times, not like today, where they can have high tech, they can make high walls from material that can be very, very thin. Walls were very, very thick. It was an amma. An amma is 6 tefachim. Okay, think about that. That's like the width of the table. That's like almost the width of the table. That's how thick the wall was. In this thick wall, there was a door going from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That means how much space was there behind the thick wall into the remainder of the Kodesh? 39. 39 amos of open space. Then you have one amma for the wall, and then you have 20 amos for the inside of the Kodesh HaKodashim. And that's very interesting, because we know in Chazal the number 40 is always reduced to the number 39. When it comes to Malkos, you have the same concept. Malkos are Boim Yakenu Lo Yosef. And what do we give a person? How many Malkos do you get? You don't get 40, you get 39. Okay, there are other examples. We're always giving, always taking numbers and reducing them by one. 50 days. Chamishim Yom. We go down from 50, we go down to 49. But at least when it comes to Malkos, they have a direct correlation. 50, 40, down to 39. You actually have that in the Beis HaMikdash. It was really meant to be 40, but one amma of that 40 is taken up by the thickness of the wall. You're only really left with 39 amos behind the thickness of the wall. So this is the length of the Verach of Amos Eshrim. Let's see the Metzudas Pasuk Gimel. The Eila Husa, the following is Eila. So here he adds in a whole bunch of words into the Pasuk. It's a Mikra Chosa. Eila, the following of the Mispray, the dimensions of Ha'oirech, the length. The word length, for whatever reason, mysteriously does not appear in the Pasuk. The Verach of the width, Asher Hiniach Yisoyl, which was the foundation, which was put down to serve as the foundation for the Mikdash. B'mido HaRishayna, what does that mean? B'midas Ho'amo Shana'asa Bo HaMishkan. The Rishayna refers to the Mishkan. Shlomo was building now the base HaMilish based upon the measuring units of the Mishkan going back 480 years ago. Shehoisa Rishayna was original lebinyan hamigdash for the purpose of constructing the structure. Vehi ha'isa bas, and it was shisha tefachim. It was the large amma, not the small amma of 5 tefachim, which was used for making utensils, but was the large one used for the dimensions of the structure. Rashi pasuk gimel ha'irich amos b'mida lufi shivsek v'amar. The Mido HaRishayna, because the Pasuk went on a detour with the words the Mido HaRishayna, that's why Oimer Oid Amos. So the word Amos appears again. In other words, the word Amos appears to be extra. We don't need here the word Amos. The Pasuk just said the Eila Husat Shlomo Livnos a space Ho Elokim Ho Oirech Amos. Is Amos Shishim V'Roichav Amos Eshrim. Why is there the word Amos after the word B'Midah HaRishonah? The answer is, the third time he said this, Rashi, today, is because since we got sidetracked by going on to a new concept, and the new concept in this pasuk is specifically the Midah HaRishonah, we have to repeat the word Amos. Oimer oid Amos kolema orich Amos habayis shishim ama bein dvir lehechel v'rechav Amos chaf. And the width is 20. Okay, pasik dal. Now we come to the ulam. What is that? I plan on bringing in a lot of pictures. Okay, but I just wanted to get started today to go to see some of the very interesting things about the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon is unique to Sefer Melachim and Divrei Hayamim. If you learn a lot of Gemara, if you learn a lot of Daf Yomi, you're not going to ever come across the structure of the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon is very rarely mentioned in the Gemara. The Batal Bavli is all about the Bayis Sheni, especially now. Now is Shkolim, learning Shkolim now, so there's a lot of discussion about different things about the Bayis Rishon. And certainly, when you come to Masechta Yoma, there's a lot. There's quite a bit of material relating to the structure of the Bayis Sheni. But the Bayis Sheni is not the same as the Bayis Rishon. Now we come to the Ulam. The Ulam is the chamber that is right in front of the Heichal. Now the Ulam, if everyone knows from the pictures, is very, very long. Right, if this looks like a line. If this is, let's say this blue sefer is the Kodesh, and then you have the Kodesh, then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the Kodesh. In front, we're all familiar with seeing a very wide structure, which goes in front of the entire thing. That is called the Ulam. So really, the structure has three parts. The Ulam is called the antechamber, right? That's what they're called, antechamber. Then comes the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Mishkan, there's no such thing as the Ulam. It didn't exist. There was not only the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then you have the Chotzer, which was the wool of the Azara. But in the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, there is a third major structure in front of the Heichal called the Ulam. The Ulam juts out on both sides. However, right now we're only going to focus on the main part of the Ulam, which is pretty much flush with the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So just like the width of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20, so too the width of the Ulam is 20. But here's what's tricky in the Pasuk. We're not referring to the width as the width, we're referring it to as the length. Why are we going to refer to it as the length? Because it was very narrow. How narrow was it? It was only 10 amos deep. When you come into the Ulam, how much depth is there in the Ulam? 10 amos. So it was 10 amos deep, and it was 20 amos wide. But the rules are, when you have two dimensions, and one is longer than the other, the one that's longer is always called the length. So in the Pasuk, we're going to refer to the depth as the width, and across as the length. Even though when we spoke about the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when we spoke about the distance across, we referred to it as the width. Here, it's a different structure. It's a different structure that's attached. In this structure, this way is longer than this way. So the long way we're going to call the length, which was 20 amos, and what we're going to call the width was 10 amos. But when you put it one against the other, you're going to get confused, because if you're calling the width here and the width here as 20, you would assume that you're going to call the ulam also a width of 20. But no, it's a different structure that is connected to this, to the Heichal Ulam. Let's see the word pasuk inside. Let's list one pasuk. The ulam, what is the ulam? The chamber that leads into the Heichal. Asher al pnei ha'oirech. Now it's a very hard pasuk to translate. What it means is asher, the dimensions al pnei ha'oirech, along its length. Okay, its length. Look at it as a structure by itself, and its length lies against al pnei rochav habayis, along the width of the bayis, amos esrim. 20 amos long. In other words, it's flush. It's flush with the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's exactly the same, comes out. Now, this mysteriously does not tell us its depth. Okay, that's very, very strange. Why in Sefer Divrei Hayamim are we missing a very significant fact? How deep was it? Doesn't say. Why? I mean, why not? It tells us all these other things. I don't know the answer. And it was 10. We know from Sefer Melachim that it was 10. 10 amos in, the height of the entire structure, all three of them share the same height, was Mea Ve'esrim, 120 amos tall. That's massive. Vayitzapel Mipnima Zohavtar, and the inside, and we have to see what the inside means. The different interpretations of Rashi and the Mitzudas was the inside, part of the inside, it's certainly now referring to the Ulam, was covered with pure gold. Okay, let's see the Mitzudas and Rashi, and we'll stop. Mitzudas Pasuk Dalid. Al Pnei Ha'orech Ratzulam. This is a very confusing Pasuk when it describes the dimension of the Ulam. Ratzulam Asher Ha'orech Amad L'Roich HaVeheichel. Its length stood against the width of the Heichel. Who? Hoya B'midas Amos Eshem. It was 20 Amos long. Ki hamida hamu etes tikre roichav. In Jewish, I guess in all languages, anything we have two dimensions, one is larger and one is smaller. The larger dimension is called, the smaller dimension is called the width, and the larger is called the length. The heichel hoisar boim al eshem. The heichel, okay, the middle room was 40 long by 20 wide. The ulam hoisar rechava. It was wide 10. Here he fills in the missing information. Rechava asara, kamo shenemar b'molochim aleph. The orka, its length was esrim, was 20. Im kain omad oirech ulam, the length of the ulam was flush against alpi roicha v'heichal. What about the height? The hagavoya mea v'esrim, the height was 120. That problem is a contradiction. And say for Melachim, it says the height was only 30. Or Melachim Alav Nemar Shleishim was only 30. The Yitachin Leimar, it's very logical to say, Kisham Nemar al habayis. That refers to the height of the first room. The Heichal itself, it had a ceiling. And the ceiling was a height of 30. But on top of that, there was other stories. There was a second story, a third story. There were many layers. There were many floors. So the very, very top to the roof, it was 130 amos. But when it says in Sefer Melachim that the height of the bayis was 30, that refers to the first floor. The actual Heichal and part of the Kodesh Kodashim was different. We'll see. Yisham Nehmer al Abayis, V'kan V'tochel Lamar, Yisham Nehmer al Abayis, V'kan al Ulam. So he gives two interpretations. I told you the second. Let me tell you the first. The first is the Ulam was 120 amos tall. But the Bayis, the second room and the third room, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Einach and Ami, were 30. Very different ways of what, different models of what it looked like. Again, there are three different chambers. There's the Ulam, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We have a contradiction. In Sefer Melachim it says the height was 30. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim it tells us the height was 120. First solution. In Sefer Melachim we're referring to the height of the Heichol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That reached a height of 30. Here, in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, where it says 100, is referring to the first part. The first structure that was in front was 120 amos. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Neymar, ki tishim amos, the extra 90 amos above the 30, hoyu ho alios, were other stories. There was a second story, a third story, zo al zo. Kimash Amar. How do we know that there was more than one story in the Beis HaMikdash? Because David said to Shlomo, I've given you the Tavnis Ha'ulam V'chulu Ve'Ali Yosaf. It says the word Ali Yosaf, it's upper stories. What does that refer to? It refers to the stories above the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then it says here, the Pasuk concludes that what did David do? He went and he covered the inner portion with Zohav Tahar Mipnima, Bavur HaKasom Shebefnim, on top of the, on behalf of the walls, the inner walls, B'chaloloi, on the inner, in the inside. When it says here that it was overlaid with gold, it does not refer to the Ulam, it refers to the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. Let's see Rashi, and we'll stop Rashi, Pasik Dalit. The Ulam was Asher al Pnei Ha'orech, Orech Shal Ulam, Shal Pnei Ha'orech HaFabayis, Chof. The Orech, the length of the Ulam that was along the width was 20 amos long. Shai Orech HaUlam, B'chol Orech HaFabayis, Chof. The length of the Ulam, which was right up against the Bayis, was 20 amos, mitzafon l'darom, from north to south. North to south means across. Okay, north to south. North is on the right side, and south is on the left side. The whole mida yisera kuya arich. Anytime you have two dimensions, one is longer, one is smaller. The longer one is the arich. Kusal kuya arichav. Olafi shebehechol midasa mimizruch lamariv yisera. Since when you're dealing with hechol, the dimensions it was longer. It was longer than it was shorter. So therefore, we call the length of the hechol the part going from east to west. There, okay. Lamaril yisera kuya arich minat safan ladarim pechusa kuya roichav. Ulam shvidasa minat safan ladarim yisera kuya arich midasa minat mizuch lamariv shibchusa kuya roichav. The roichav ulam eser, and here it's sending us the missing depth of the ulam was 10. Kimefurish malachim eser ba'ama rochava al pnei abayis. Ve'agoyva mei abiyashim malachim siva shloishim amo kemasa. We have a contradiction. Okay, sad goyva hakoyma mikarki is habayis ad kiri aliyah rishayna shloishim. Over here, Rashi is only giving us the second interpretation of the mitzudos, that the first story was 30 umi aliyah laliyah ad gag, and from floor to floor, from one story to the next story until you hit the roof, tishim. Amos was an additional 90 Amos. If you look at the Pasuk, all of its chambers, Ugin Zachov, the Aliyah Sof, different types of expressions, but one word that we want to focus on is the Aliyah Sof, which means upper stories. Mechlal Shahayu Aliyos. Now here is the first. Where exactly did he cover with gold? Pasuk says, Bifneim Ahechel. According to the Mefarish, when it says the cover means the middle room on the inside was covered with gold, the loy ha'ulam and not the ulam. The zesh Mefarish ha'olach, and now the pasuk goes on to describe in detail exactly how it was covered. Ha'heach also the asabayis ha'gadol chipa mibufnim, how he did it. The next pasuk, which we're not going to do now, describes exactly how he covered the inside with gold. You just can't cover stone with gold. It doesn't work. It's just not going to work. The way you feel, the walls were made from stone. How then did he cover them? So first you cover the stone with wood, and on top of the wood you cover it with zahav tahar. If you attempt to take gold and put gold plates on top of stone, it's not going to stick. Just doesn't go. It has to first be prepared with wood. And that's what the next pasuk is going to address. Heach osav yes abayis hagodol chipa b'fnim kol abayis zav tar. Chipa, eitz, first thing he did was he covered with eitz biro sim, a certain type of wood which works very well with gold. The two of them.
Cyber.
These two materials, they work very well with each other. Shekol habayis hadvir vahechol, the entire Kodesh HaKadoshim and Hechol, tzibe mitchila atzei verosim. The achar kach, vayachpeyu zahov tov, he covered with good gold, al kiros of the walls, habirosim. Umishum tzibu zav shirotzal tzabas habayis chipeu mitchil, because he wanted to ultimately cover the entire inside with gold, he had no choice. Mitchilo chipeu mitchil beyetzim, he had no choice but to first cover it with wood. Kidei sheyiskayim hazob chayzek, so that the gold would connect firmly to the walls. Shahayim chazek lazav, he would connect the gold b'mismarim with nails. B'tziyurei ho'etz, up against the images, the designs that were etched into the wood. Shahayim mitzayir tziyurin bo'etz t'moirim palm trees. What would he do? This is something, another idea. He would take the wood. The wood was just flat pieces of wood. The wood, into the wood was etched these exotic images of palm trees. What are tamarim? Heim ilonos trees. Kimin tamarim like dates. Date trees. Ukruvim and carob trees. And then on top of these exotic images that were etched into the wood, there would be plates of gold which perfectly fit into them or overlaid upon them and were permanently put in place with nails. Uvamalachim siv, v'kila aleihem mikla'os. Kila means to plate upon them, kruvim, utamaros, upiturei tzitzim. Three different types of images. Kruvim are angels, the image of angels, and palm trees, and flowers. Different types of flowers. Kamo vayotzei tzitz, like it says in Bamidbar, vayotzei tzitz upiturei And what does it mean? Peturei peturei means kamo poter adam ishto. A person exempts his wife. It's another expression which means to break forth. The breaking forth. You let your wife break forth from you by giving her a get. She breaks. So she goes forth. So when something sprouts from the ground, it's called with this expression peturei. Okay, this is what he brings down, the name of his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Elazar ben Mishlom. So Rashi is telling us a very important. You saw this, how there was basically three different layers. In the Mefarshim, in the Darshanim, there's a lot of significance in this. When you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where are you really going into? You're going into three different types of material. It's stone, covered with wood, covered with gold. Three different, each of these things has different significance in halacha, in machshava, and the combination of the three materials is what is serving as a bias for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stone, wood, and gold. Okay, we'll stop here.